Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth Podcast. I said you want to be starting something, you got to be starting something. Edition. As Dave Lapham joins me to discuss our first day at Bengals training camp in 2020. Yes, we were there on Thursday, meaning we got our first look at Joe Burrow in a Bengals uniform, albeit from a distance. We'll share our observations about him, AJ Green, Billy Price, and a whole lot more. After that, I'll talk to one of the most interesting stories on this year's roster, Winston Rose. He was among the best players in the Canadian Football League last year, and now he's looking to prove that he can make it in the NFL. The Bengals Booth Podcast is presented by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. And here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or Podbean. It's the greatest thing since cauliflower tacos with cashew crema. For many families, including mine, if there's been a silver lining during the pandemic, it's been the return of the nightly family dinner. We've been together at the dining room table almost every night, and that's been nice. But after a while, the menu can get repetitive. Well, a friend of my wife recommended a cauliflower taco recipe from Bon Appetit magazine, and it's been a total game changer. We have them once a week, and here's the thing. I don't like cauliflower. It's one of my least favorite vegetables, although not even close to beets, the most heinous thing God ever created. But in this recipe, the cauliflower gets charred and crispy, and there's a great sauce that goes in the tacos as well. Everybody in my family loves it, and everybody we've recommended it to loves it as well. So go online and search for Bon Appetit cauliflower tacos. Your taste buds will thank you. Now, let's get to football. I can confidently state that I am COVID-free. To give you an indication of how strict the NFL protocols are at training camp, in order to watch practice this week, Dave Lapham and I had to test negative for the coronavirus 3 times in a 5-day period. Then on Thursday morning, we entered the practice field through a separate gate and watched from a platform behind one of the end zones, never getting close to a player or coach. Normally, we would be right on the sideline with the freedom to get right up close to the drills, but I have no complaints. It was great to be standing next to Lap, well, technically 6 feet away from Lap with our masks on, watching Bengals football. Lap, on Thursday, we were able to attend practice at training camp for the first time, and that meant we got our first ever look, at least in a training camp atmosphere, at quarterback Joe Burrow. What'd you think?
I was duly impressed, Dan. You know, watching him throw the football is really a beautiful sight, really, from a football standpoint. He's got a very tight spiral. He's extremely accurate with the football. His mechanics are very, very tight. When he decides to start his throwing motion to the conclusion of it, that ball is out. And, you know, I noticed whenever he's taking drops from center and taking his three-step, five-step drop, setting and throwing the football, he's always the first one to have it out. And that those tenths of a second are extremely important. A lot of times it's the difference between, you know, having a 17-yard completion down the football field and getting hit for a 7-yard sack. I mean, there are those every tenth is massive. And he has a very, very quick decision-making process and a delivery. And then when he gets it down the football field, he's not making his receivers work. You know, they don't have to slow down to catch the football. They don't have to overextend to catch the football. He's hitting them in stride. I mean, he's not throwing into bay windows. He's throwing into portholes. He's throwing into very, very tight windows. Reminds me a lot of Kenny Anderson. I've mentioned before that I worked a camp with him in Connecticut. It's called the Offense Defense Camp, and he would just want to work on his throwing. You know, just get some throws in, keep that arm limber, and it was unbelievable. I'd be 25, 30 yards away from him, and he'd throw it, and he'd say, right shoulder, boom. Navel, boom. Left shoulder, you know, right hip, and hit those spots. Even though they're so close together, my hands would be right there, and the ball would be at that spot. He was unbelievable. And, boy, if Joe Burrow can play as long as Kenny did and have the accuracy Kenny did and everything else that Kenny Anderson did, I think the Bengals would be extremely happy. He reminded me a lot of watching old 14 sling it a little bit.
That is obviously very high praise, especially considering how close you are to Ken Anderson. We should clarify, he was not throwing against defenses. He is throwing on air, as they say. So really all you can determine from watching that is how does the throw look, how quickly does he get it out, et cetera. And just based on how much he could impress us, he was very impressive.
He was, Dan. And, you know, the thing that receivers used to – I hear receivers all the time when they talk about Kenny. Man, his ball is so catchable. It's like a mattress. It's so soft, man. It comes in there, and it's not going to dislocate your fingers, break your fingers. You know, he's not going to, you know, split your the webbing in your finger. I mean, I've seen guys, receivers actually have the webbing in their fingers split, catching fastballs from these guys who are trying to throw the ball through the wall, you know. And I'm not saying that, you know, a strong arm's not good, but, you know, Kenny's arm was plenty strong enough. I think Joe's is going to be plenty strong enough. Why? Because they put it in such tight spots. I mean, they know where they're going with the football. They're putting it into such a spot. Defense has very little time to react to it. You know, I mean, I think accuracy makes up for a lot of things, including, you know, maybe a little bit less arm strength, but they got plenty enough arm strength, and receivers appreciate the fact that they can pluck the football. They don't have to catch it and give and be in pain doing it. You know, it's very easy for them. It's just like, you know, picking cotton. They're out there just picking fruit, you know. They're picking footballs out of the air. It's very easy. They're just plucking it.
So there are four quarterbacks in training camp, and as we watch these drills, Joe Burrow would go first, Ryan Finley second, Jake Dolagala third, and then the fourth guy was very interesting to watch, Brandon Allen, the quarterback who started a couple of games for the Denver Broncos last year, because he is definitely being quarantined, at least in a sense, at practice.
Yeah, he is. I guess they're probably keeping him pretty isolated in the building because he's being as isolated as possible on the football field. He never got in a huddle, Dan. He never set the huddle, never called a play in the huddle, never broke the huddle, never came to the line of scrimmage with the team and executed a play. The other three quarterbacks all took turns in rotation of running plays. And four quarterbacks, that's hard to get a lot of equal snaps. It's impossible. And you want to get Joe as many as you can at some point in time. So divvying up four quarterbacks snaps in an hour practice is tough. So the way they're doing it, and it serves multiple purposes, is they're quarantining him as such, like you say, keeping him behind all that action. He's back there with the coaches and the other players. And then he goes through he hears the call. They break the huddle, goes to the line of scrimmage. He's acting like he's under center, takes the snap, and then he goes through his progression. He does his footwork on a running play. I saw him doing the reverse pivots, footwork, all that sort of thing. Quarterback's getting out of pocket on bootleg. He's doing that. And then he's simulating a throw, the throwing motion, not throwing the football. That was some of the time. Other times, he would throw the football. He'd throw the football to another receiver. He'd see who the quarterback was throwing to. You know, there's three or four options on every route. He'd get out of pocket, run behind the quarterback, so he had the exact same vantage point as the quarterback when it was out of pocket. Quarterback would hit one. He'd go to the intermediate. If the quarterback went deep, he'd go short, just the opposite. So quarterbacks are getting more work. Receivers are getting more work. They're running their routes, and it's not just, you know, running around and not getting rewarded. Two guys are catching the football instead of one. More quarterbacks are, you know, he's getting tons of reps, mental reps, because he's doing it with every guy. And then he stayed after practice to get more physical work and threw the ball after practice more. So it was very interesting to watch how they're doing that kind of thing. And he's got a pretty good understanding of Zach's offense anyway, having been, you know, involved with that concept offensively before. So very interesting.
In order to be able to watch practice on Thursday, we had to pass three COVID-19 tests in a five-day period, Saturday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We are also wearing Kinexon, KINEXON devices at practice, and these are little flashing devices. If we get within 6 feet of certain employees, they start flashing and beeping. If we get within 10 feet of other employees, they start flashing and beeping. So obviously the NFL is being very careful about people potentially passing the virus from one person to the next. Additionally, at practice, we were behind one of the end zones on a platform quite a long distance away from the action. So some drills you can see well, others you can't. Fortunately, the wide receivers got very close to us, and we got a great look at A.J. Green.
We really did, Dan, and man, he looks world class to me. I mean, to me, he could be on an Olympic track and field team watching that guy. It's obvious. He worked so hard in the offseason. I can remember what he looked like in Cleveland at the end of last year, running routes down in the field before the game, like a good hour and a half before kickoff, and he looked so smooth and explosive coming out of his routes. He's even more so now. I mean, he's worked so hard, and he's in tremendous shape. And, man, it's like he's the – if you look up fluidity in Webster's, his picture's right there in terms of running routes. It's unbelievable to watch him. Effortless. It's like watching a professional dancer do his thing. He gets in and out of cuts so well at his height to do the things that he does, the separation that he gets, and then catching the football. You know, they were running routes and like little end zone crossers down in front of us, and he just, when he catches it, it doesn't make any noise. It's silent. He just plucks it. It's like it gets absorbed into an amoeba or something. I mean, it's where does that football go? And he flashes his hands up there, and it's out of the air. It snatches it. It's amazing to watch him just snag a football the way he does it. And his skill set is definitely off the charts. And I'm rooting for him big time. I know, as every Bengal fan is. There, you know, he's on a 1 year deal. He's on a 1 year prove it deal. Mike Daniels on a 1 year prove it deal. You know, these guys, they're playing for something. They're playing for a continuation of their career. They're playing to provide for their families. They're playing for personal pride, and nobody has more personal pride than Adriel Jeremiah Green, as you call him.
And AJ is not the only guy who got into tip-top shape. I mean, he's always in tip-top shape, but a couple of guys who stood out from where we were for transforming their physiques, linebacker Jordan Evans and offensive lineman Billy Price.
There's no doubt. And, you know, it's Billy Price obviously realized that Coach Turner likes big bodies, particularly inside. He likes the big body type. So Billy, he looks every bit of 325, 330. He's put on some and it's not sloppy. He's thick. I mean, it's good weight. He's blown up. There's no question about it. But, you know, as a teammate and as a coach, his reaction is what you hope for. Instead of sulking, poor me, feeling sorry for yourself, assuming the fetal position, all right, I can either accept this or I'm going to do something about it. He did something about it. So he changed himself. Changed himself physically. Is that what it's going to take? I mean, obviously Billy Price, another prideful guy, and it hasn't gone with injury and other reasons, hasn't gone the way he's wanted it to this point in time. But he's not quitting on it. He's going to try to do something about it and see if he can, you know, restart it and reboot and the new and improved, the different Billy Price, looking Billy Price. And Jordan Evans is definitely trimmed. I mean, Jordan Evans played on the back end in high school. Jordan Evans played defensive back. And just kept, you know, he's got a big frame, just kept growing and growing. His dad was a great player at Oklahoma as well. And he knew Jordan was going to be a bigger guy eventually. And now he's decided that he was going to trim down a little bit, lose some of the, maybe a little bit of body fat. And boy, he looks good. He looks good out there running around with that number 50 jersey on, you know. So Jonah Williams, you know, we got to look at him as well. Jonah's redone himself. So it's good. I mean, guys have put the work in. And when you put the work in the off season, and particularly with the COVID-19, you know, it wasn't easy. Like Mike Daniels built a gym in his house, tore it down, you know, moved it from Michigan to Green Bay, rebuilt it. I mean, the guys are making commitments and fighting through adversity and all that sort of thing. And it's good to see guys doing that and trying to make 2020 as good a season as they possibly can for themselves and their football team.
The Billy Price situation is interesting to me because when you look at projections of the Bengals' starting offensive line, I haven't seen Billy Price listed. Trey Hopkins got a contract extension. I think we assume he's going to be the starting center. They signed Xavier Suofilo to potentially be the starting right guard. But clearly in Billy Price's mind, he's not conceding any of that, whether it's winning the center position back or beating out Xavier Suofilo and others to be the right guard. Billy Price showed up with the intention of winning a starting job back.
No doubt about it, Dan. You know, and he and Michael Jordan probably going to be in a pretty good battle at that left guard spot. Former Buckeyes, both of them. Michael Jordan's a much different body type. Michael Jordan's got length and strength. Billy Price has the strength, not as much the length. So, you know, that's what he's fighting, I think, as much as anything. But you know what? There's nothing wrong with being number six, particularly if you're the best at if you're the number one guy at center and both guards. The chances of all three guys playing every snap for 16 games, you know, in a perfect world, great. Doesn't always happen. So you don't want to go from, you'd like to go 1 to 1A, not one to off the depth chart, like, oh, what's this guy? Are you kidding? Coach is like, oh, how are we going to win with this guy at the position? So you want to be, and you don't want to let your teammates down. If a starter goes down, you don't want to be a guy to come running to the huddle and all your teammates go, oh, Jesus, this guy? I mean, we got no shot. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be a guy like, hey, I'm as good. You know, it's almost a flip of the coin, guys. I can play. I'm not going to let us down. I can show you I can play. There's nothing wrong. In a perfect world, you want to have eight linemen that you can rely on to play and not have any qualms whatsoever. If I'm the line coach, just go out there and play right tackle. You're fine. Just go out there and play left guard. You're fine. That's what you want to have. You want to be able to have and still be able to operate and not miss a beat. So Billy's going to provide that.
One thing I've enjoyed over the years at training camp, and I know you have too, is the opportunity to walk up to team president Mike Brown and pick his brain and listen to his stories. And it's always enjoyable to spend some time with Mike in this environment. Not sure we're going to get the chance to do that this training camp because he positions himself between the practice field so he can, you know, swivel and watch drills in all directions. But it was interesting to see him in the year 2020 wearing a mask watching a football practice.
The number of decades that he's been involved in football is staggering. You know, I mean, as a player and now all the way up to being an owner, it's got to be from the 40s. You know, I'm not thinking late 30s. I don't know. I don't think he goes back going back that far. He's what, 84? I mean, it could be. I mean, I know he's in training camp in the 40s, you know. So 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2010s, 20. That's unbelievable. That's a lifetime of football. And he's still, you know, every training camp, it's like Christmas.
Yeah.
Every training camp to him is like, okay, let's unwrap the presents. Look at, we think we did a good job. Santa Claus was good to us in free agency in the draft. We think we have some good items. Okay, let's unwrap them. Let's see if there's assembly required, or are they a finished product, or do we have to develop them and assemble them a little bit, or do we have to move them? You know, to well, what are we going to do with these things? Are they just plug and play? Do we have to move people around? Do we have to change the way we operate from a philosophical standpoint or a schematic standpoint? And he loves all that stuff. He loves to see the beginning stages of off-season, obviously, of putting it all together and then seeing it start to unfold on the field and the evolution and development and all that. He's a very intelligent man, as we know, and that whole dynamic fascinates Mike Brown. You know, all the trying to meld all the different personalities, the different quirks, the different everything. I mean, you're taking people from all walks of life in terms of their background when they grew up and putting them all in under one roof and trying to make a football team out of them.
One more topic, and that's Mike Daniels. On last week's podcast, I brought up the possibility of signing Domantas Peko to add depth on the defensive line. They had lost Josh Tupo, who opted out. Ryan Glasgow got cut after failing the physical. And when I brought up Domantas, you said, well, I wouldn't completely rule it out, but I don't think he would be at the top of their list of options. Well, you were right. They went out and got Mike Daniels, 4 years younger, a better player. He's been a Pro Bowler. He was on the top 100 list from his peers 3 years in a row, 16, 17, and 18. To me, that really, again, represents a change in how the Bengals are operating. I think in the Marvin Lewis era particularly, they would have gone out and gotten Domantas Peko. Known quality, great guy. They love him. They know him. He knows the system.
It's comfortable.
He's comfortable. Instead, they go out and get the better player, the more expensive player, the younger player, and, in my opinion, the guy that's going to be able to help them a heck of a lot more.
I agree with all that, Dan, and I'll guarantee you that Mike Daniels wanted more than $2.7 or $2.8 million, and he wanted a longer contract. But they got it. They got it done, and I think he is the A.J. Green of the defense. Two Pro Bowls, 17 and 18, injured 19. You know, you injured part of 18, injured 19. Year and a half, he's lost due to injury. A.J. Green, year and a half, lost due to injury. Pro Bowl, high caliber, top 100 player who has missed a year and a half, a one-year show-me contract, one on offense, one on defense. You know, one skill player, you know, at the receiver position, one of the best in the league. The other one, in the trenches, you know, a black and blue guy, you know, is just going to, you know, maul you. He, Dan, watching tape of this guy when he was at his best, he inverts an offensive line. Penetration, disruption. Oh, my gosh, man, he's a load. He and Geno Atkins, you know, he talked about it on his Zoom conference call that he and Geno have kind of texted and fantasized about playing together for a while. Now here it is. Here it is. And, man, you throw Daniel in it as well. Gosh, man, I'm telling you, that's name me another defensive tackle, three-man defensive tackle rotation. There are other good ones in the league, but, man, Bengals got nothing to be embarrassed about rolling those three beasts out there.
In case you missed it, Lapp and I did a live training camp report with practice video on Thursday, and we'll be doing two a week for the rest of training camp. Our next live report will be on Tuesday afternoon, which will be the first day that the team is in full pads. Ah, yes, real football. You can watch those reports on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and all of the Bengals platforms. Before we get to our next conversation, here's a quick reminder that you can take your Bengals pride to the next level in 2020 with an official Bengals fan package from Prime Sport. Unfortunately, even though there's been no significant contact at training camp so far, the Bengals already have a significant setback as cornerback Trey Waynes suffered a pectoral injury that reportedly happened while he was lifting weights. The free agent, who signed a three-year, $42 million deal in the offseason, could miss a couple of months. One of the players who will try to fill the void is Winston Rose, who signed a two-year deal with the Bengals in late December after spending the last three seasons in the Canadian Football League. Rose led the CFL with 9 interceptions last year and had 5 the year before. Here's Bengals head coach Zach Taylor.
14 picks is 14 picks no matter what league you play in, and that's exciting. And when we worked him out, he had great twitch, great explosiveness, had a good knack for the ball and really good hands. And so now we get a chance to see him really full speed playing the NFL this training camp.
Rose is 6 feet tall, 180 pounds, and wearing the number 39 at training camp. I spoke to the 26-year-old defensive back this week. Winston, you signed with the Bengals on New Year's Eve after a tremendous season in the Canadian Football League. What opportunities did you have in the NFL before ultimately choosing Cincinnati?
I was in talks with the Philadelphia Eagles, and I had did a workout with the San Diego Chargers. So those teams.
And why did you decide to go with Cincinnati?
I just felt comfortable with the coaches and with the scheme. And from the workout, talking to Coach Lou, it just seemed right. After the workouts, you know, I talked to Coach Lou, like I said, and he's just going over what Cincinnati did the year before and just, you know, the success they had toward the end of the season. It just, I was just ready for the rebuild, to be part of the rebuild.
Did it make for a nice New Year's celebration, signing with an NFL team on New Year's Eve?
Yeah, it definitely did. To sign on 31st to start 2020, in the NFL, it was a dream come true, man. Everything I worked hard for and worked towards. So to sign, it was like the cherry on top.
We're visiting with Bengals cornerback Winston Rose. You led the CFL with 9 interceptions last year. You had another one in the postseason. Did you do anything differently, or were you used any differently that helped you get your hands on so many passes last year?
Ultimately, I just give credit to my coaches and my teammates, man. My coaches calling the right play, and, you know, my teammates just playing their part as far as, like, the D-line, the front seven, linebackers, and even the safety communicating to me. I give all the success to them. I feel like the rush play a key part in with the DBs and coverages. So if you get pressure, the quarterback is going to throw it up because, you know what I'm saying, he don't want to take a sack. So he might just give that 50-50 ball to one of his receivers that he feel comfortable with. So just having that pressure with my D-line and linebackers putting on the quarterback just made my job easier.
Winston, for people who have never watched a CFL game, it's different. You've got 12 players on each side. The field is bigger. The wide receivers can get a running start before the ball is snapped. How is playing quarterback different in the CFL from the NFL?
Like I always tell people, it's really the attention to detail, the techniques, and just the little things that will show up on game day. I don't know if a lot of people know. You have to give every receiver a yard off the ball room. So you know how, like, when you press, you could be all in the receiver face in the NFL and the candidate thing. And in CFL, no, you got to get a player a yard off. And then on top of that, I feel like the offense being an advantage because the receivers have that head start. So say you're a player that's on the line and you're pressing and you got a player that's coming at you full speed, running start, that get kind of like, you know, scary at some point. But once you just learn the techniques and, you know, the detail in the game, everything just slowed down for you.
Do you think that style of play made you better? Does it help a cornerback in particular to have to deal with all of those difficult challenges in the CFL?
I definitely can say being in the CFL definitely was what I needed. What I'm saying is it definitely, like, makes you keen to your technique, keen to the little attention to detail, and really just playing the call within the system. You don't want to do your own thing, and then next thing you know, you give up a touchdown. And in the CFL, that's a momentum switcher. But that's in sports in general. It's a momentum switcher. So you definitely don't want to be on the spotlight, but at the same time, you feel like if you don't, you know, lock in and pay attention, then you're definitely going to be on the spotlight.
We're visiting with Winston Rose. You've been in NFL training camps before with the Rams and the Colts. What stands out from your previous experiences, and does it feel different this time?
I feel like the difference from my first training camp is I was a rookie. I was fresh out of college, and I didn't have no experience under my belt. And being through, I would say, like four training camps so far, it definitely gave me that experience to, you know, not every day is perfect, and you can't make every play perfect. But what you can do is control what you can control, and just give maximum effort. So that's what I'm just going into this training camp is. I know it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, so I can't just think I'm going to get everything, I'm going to know everything all in one day. It takes time, and you definitely got to rep it out too. So I'm controlling what I can control and doing my part, and as far as, like, whatever the coaches want me to do, I'm willing to do it, so do it the Bengals way.
Winston, when you signed in December, you were at Paul Brown Stadium, and you expected to be back in April for OTAs. Where did you wind up spending the off season, and what did you do to prepare in a pandemic situation?
I was back at home in Los Angeles, Panorama City area. And what I did was I just went back to the basic. As far as, like, training and, like, conditioning, I was training with my high school coach from St. Genevieve High School, my high school track coach, doing cardio work with him. And also, as far as lifting, I would lift at one of my cousin's friend's garage gym. He had, like, you know, squat rack, bench, and pretty much everything I needed to sustain my strength. So, I just made sure that every day I made count. I didn't take a day off, and just kept that rhythm. I would actually wake up early in the morning, like start my day at like around 5:30 in that specific time. So just so I can train myself to get ready for when I come over to Ohio, that I know it's 3-hour difference. So then when it's time to wake up in the morning, I won't be too dragged because I'm already used to waking up early in California. So yeah, it was just little things like that that I kept in my program.
Yeah, good thinking on the body clock. And it sounds like that was kind of old school, going to a friend's house who had weights in his garage.
Right. Exactly what I said. Like back to the basics. Like you don't need, you know, that big gym to get working. You can still get working with some dumbbells, a squat rack, a bar, and, you know, just little things like that.
We're visiting with Winston Rose. Unfortunately, the first serious injury of training camp was to somebody in your position group, Trey Waynes. It looks like he's likely to be out for a couple of months. I know you feel badly for him, but do you look at it like a starting job is now up for grabs?
To be honest, I have no idea what's going on. So I can't speak on that. All I know is that I'm just trying to get better, do whatever it takes to help the team win and control what I can control.
Let's talk a little bit about last year. You won the Grey Cup, Canada's Super Bowl, with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Describe that experience.
Being professional to win a championship is like everything you put the work in with your teammates, even off season that you put in to ultimately reach that goal. So it was definitely a movie with Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Our season was, it started off hot, 5-0, then we went through our adversity up and down, but I feel like those adversities that we went through in the season prepared us for playoffs and prepared us to be the champions, because we knew how to come back from behind. We knew how to, you know, when adversity strikes in a game, not to quit, to lean on to our brothers and play for each other. So ultimately, Winnipeg season last year was a movie. I'm blessed. I'm grateful for the Winnipeg organization to bring me in after 1 year. I'm blessed to be part of that group. To, you know, I think it was 26 years or 29 years since the last championship went through that city. So to be part of that, that's historical. Ultimately, man, for the fans of Winnipeg, I feel like they deserved it too as well. The city itself is breathtaking, man, because it's like the fans and the people, they just so genuine. And that's just in general in Canada that I had got being over there. Like the people of Canada is so genuine and so sincere. So it was a movie, man. A movie that definitely would get an Oscar.
You must have been very popular in Winnipeg to be there for a year, to lead the CFL in interceptions and be part of a team that won the Grey Cup. You must be quite a celeb in Winnipeg.
I wouldn't say a celebrity, but I'm just Winston, man. I'm just Winston Rose, man, from Los Angeles, just doing my part, you know, keeping God first in everything I do and just being me. And I feel like ultimately that's what Winnipeg let me do. They let me be myself. They didn't, you know, like I said, I played a game within the system, but ultimately it was just go out there and do what you do. And the rest was history, man. I feel like every player can say that. And we ultimately did it, man. We ultimately reached that goal that couldn't be reached for a long time. So to be part of that, it's I'm forever grateful. I'm thankful as well too.
Winston, just to wrap things up, describe how you're feeling now that you're here. You're in the early stages of training camp, trying to be a part of this franchise going forward.
I'm just grateful every day to get this opportunity to go out there and display God in the football form. So I'm just taking each day, one day at a time, eliminate mistakes, keen in details, you know, practicing like a champion and just coming in and trying to do my part. And it's just whatever the coaches, like I said, whatever the coaches need me to do, I'm willing to do. So I just want to bring that energy to the team and just show the coaches and show everybody that I'm a team player. I'm just here to, you know, serve.
We're excited to see you do your thing. Have a great camp. Stay safe, and I appreciate the time. Thanks, Winston.
All right, thank you.
By the way, the quarterback of that Grey Cup championship team in Winnipeg last year was former University of Cincinnati Bearcat Zach Collaros. That's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Prime Sport, the official fan travel and hospitality partner of the Cincinnati Bengals. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find this podcast. I'm Dan Horde, and thank you for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.